then if I felt led to wander about, then I can do so. Likewise, you know, if you feel the need to wander about. But I'll start with a short reading. I found the perfect verse for 2020. It's John 2020. And the little bits that go around it to give you a little bit more context. So, on the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." That was 19. After that, after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." So we have the first slide. I've got about 20 different slides, and in some places I've got a clicker. Here I've got a Nigel. But I'll point when it is time for the next slide to go up, and if it doesn't, you can yell Nigel, and he'll put the next slide up. But I got the phone call a few weeks before the election. Would I come and speak at the Dove? So I've had a while to think about what to say and to pray about it too. And do you know that sometimes God gives you exactly the right thing to say? He doesn't always. But if you seek him, and if you read his words, and if you meet with others, and if you pray with people, it's possible to say the wrong thing a little bit less often. So, Colin phoned me, asked me to preach on the 19th, and I said yes. So, if I've not got anything useful to say, it's Colin's fault. What I'm going to talk about is vision and hopes for the future. I'll do that by also looking a little bit at the past and some previous hopes. I found something in my own archives. The church directory and prayer list from about 20 years ago. Now, some of you are in it. And what were you hoping back then for this church? Is 2020 how you imagined it, even if you weren't in the church directory? Can you think back 20 years? Can you look forward? I don't know. Is 2020 how you imagined it was going to be, even last year? Let's pause for a moment. Do you know that one of the longest pauses in the Bible comes between Malachi and Matthew? A pause of about 400 years. A Messiah had been promised, but had yet to arrive. Now, the pause between the death and resurrection of Christ was shorter, but it must have been unbearable. The promised Messiah had come, and he'd been murdered, executed, if not by order of the religious leaders, then certainly according to their will, and not quite so obviously according to the will of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, at least not so obvious to everyone around them. And then Jesus rose from the dead. And he told his disciples to wait for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which, although he mentioned, yeah, breathed on them, received the Holy Spirit, later. At Pentecost, it's when it came in its fullness. He also spoke of the fact that he would go away and that he'd come back again. And while we're waiting for that, the church should go into all the world and make disciples. And God's still waiting for us to do that. And so we come to 2020. Here we are. So we'll stay on slide 2. Some of you will have got our recent prayer letter. There are lots of things that we're looking forward to in 2020. One of my goals is to see many churches in the UK and around the world telling people how to find online Bibles and Bible apps, and to think more about what it means to be a more multilingual church. That's one of my things at the moment. I want to see a few simple things done so that we're more welcoming and encouraging to people from the many different nations living in our communities. That's changed a little bit over the decades. Next. But in our recent letter, you'll know that right now we're also focused on Joel not needing one of those, unless it's for washing up. He's had that by his bedside for a while. We've got another one for washing up. His 3 weeks of being ill are wearing on us, and we will spare you any further pictures of that. Now, a couple of weeks ago, Steve shared a little bit about his vision for the Dove Church over the year ahead, and asked you what your vision from God for the year was. Did he get any answers, by the way? You're still waiting. Maybe at the end of today. Did he go away and think about it? Oh. It was on the blog as well. That's how I found it. Well, since then, America attacked Iran. Since sort of the beginning of the year, Iran launched some missiles in response. Harry and Meghan tried to resign from the family business. A volcano began erupting in the Philippines. Australia continued to burn. They've had some rain. Praise the Lord for that. The US president moved a step closer to impeachment. How many of you saw all of that stuff coming? You might be praying for peace and quiet. That neither Brexit, nor Trump, nor global warming, nor whatever else dominates the headlines brings about the end of the world. Before Jesus is ready to return, at least. There's a quote that I like from a movie. Everything will be all right in the end. If it's not all right, it's not the end. John 20:20 says it isn't the beginning or the end. It's a bit in the middle. And you've got this recently crucified Jesus appears and says, "Peace be with you," then shows the disciples his hands and his side. Hands that have been nailed to a cross, a side that had been speared. Were the wounds still open? Were the holes there? Were they healed, partly healed? Were the scars? Whatever they looked like, the disciples were overjoyed at seeing Jesus, seeing that whatever had happened, he was there in front of them, alive. Whatever was going on, there was something greater going on. He said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." What does that mean? But with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." You might have been praying for peace and quiet, but you made Steve your new elder. And he said, "We're going to take the good news of Jesus out from here." And then he said that his vision was that we will be missional. We will be sent. Missional, that seems to be kind of this new sort of buzz phrase, isn't it, these days? But it's been used for sort of a few decades now in the higher echelons of you've read one of those books now. And it kind of includes stuff like the Great Command and the Great Commission. Somebody did a conference which they called GC Squared. Great Command, Great Commission. I don't know the rest of the conference, but I like that idea. Because it's both of these things. The Great Command, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbour as yourself. We know that one. We like that one. We want to live that one. And then the Great Commission. Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always, to the very end of the age. Great command and great commission. I like the phrase that we will be missional, but I almost prefer he will be missional.
Yes.
This is God's work. Our being sent is important, but it's about seeing what he is doing, celebrating and joining in. This can only spring from our worship and out of the presence of God with us. You remember that? He said it. And he wrote it down as well. It may not be as one that gets quoted as much as bits in the Bible, but it's building on bits in the Bible. I'm sure you'll cover this a few times, worship is not just about your singing. But having said that, can I just say, I really love worshipping here. It's a smaller group of people. There's not a whole bunch of instruments. They're not drowning. And there's some... It's the Radio 2 of worship, okay? But that's a good thing, because there's a mix from different eras and different ages, and there's stuff that really resonates with me. It's not about being totally hip and the latest worship songs. Stuff that speaks to you and continues to speak to you over the generations. Anyway. Also said along with this worship stuff is that... This was my desire for 2020, said Steve, is that the Lord will add another 10 people to our worshipping congregation. I also want to see some baptisms. Now, you also stressed that, you know, these weren't sort of targets to be checked off the list. This was just kind of what you kind of saw, hoped for this congregation. Now, that's not all that Steve's hoping for. I don't know the full list of what else God has put on his heart, but he's got some hopes and dreams for Walk Ministries, some for your family, some for this country, for this world. But for the Dove, is that something that you think that can happen? Another 10 people joining this little group?
Easy.
Yeah. Is it something you expect to happen? Yes, it can. Of course it can. But do you know what? You're expecting it doesn't mean that it will happen. And if it doesn't happen, don't say we didn't expect hard enough. Or we didn't want it enough. That's what it is. We just need to just want it more, expect it more. Also, don't assume that it's not because you didn't work hard enough. But don't assume that you don't need to work at all. You've been sent. Just as the Father sent me, so I am sending you. So, who gets to do what to see this thing happen? Now, for the last 20 years, I've been quoting William Carey, even quoted it in this church over 20 years ago, who said, expect great things, attempt great things, expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. So who does what to see this church go? Does it depend on God? Does it depend on Steve? Does it depend on the members of this church? Does it depend on outside preachers, special events, or new houses being built and people looking for a church? Might involve all of those things. But Steve could have presented his vision and been branded an enthusiast. That's kind of the response given to some this more audacious vision of William Carey's 230 years ago. Sit down, young man. William Carey preached a stonking sermon on mission, and at the end of it, he was told, sit down, young man. If God wants to convert the heathen, he'll do it without you or me. And that was the view. People genuinely believed that the gospel had already gone out over all the world, and if the world had rejected it, well, that was their fault, and it was up to God what he did next. Besides, there are plenty of people at home who seem to need reaching. Sound familiar sometimes? Those problems overseas, well, we've got our own stuff to deal with. Carey had published a short book with a long title, An Inquiry into the Obligation of Christians to Use Means for the Conversion of the Heathens, in which the religious state of the world, the success of former undertakings, and the practicality of further undertakings are considered. Essay, title, and abstract all in one. He'd powerfully made his best estimates about what was going to be needed. He drew together the information that he had available at the time. He looked at what God had already been doing through others, what might be needed. He was thorough, but optimistic. Now, one of the major obstacles that he saw to the spread of the gospel was the lack of the Bible in many of the languages where the gospel had yet to be preached. He didn't know how many were needed, but he knew that this was something that was essential. Now, his vision began to come true in 1792. Little bit of history lesson, there won't be a quiz. So, 1792, the Baptist Missionary Society was formed and other agencies started to form soon after. 1804, the British and Foreign Bible Society began. I asked a friend how many languages they thought they needed, that work was needed in when they started. He's not old enough to remember personally, but he does a lot of work in the archives and assures me, yeah, they didn't know. Which is fair enough, because no one had gone to count them yet. They were still even entering countries, places that had not been mapped by Westerners. Maybe some of the locals haven't bothered drawing maps either. But shoot back again on that slide. Shoot forward to 1910, when at the World Missionary Conference in Edinburgh, delegates pledged themselves to the evangelisation of the world in their generation. None of you are around in 1910 either. That's okay. Because two world wars and some infighting in the church kind of got in the way, stifled some of the energy that was there in 1910. But neither God nor his church gave up. In one famous missionary encounter in 1956, five young missionaries were martyred, speared to death as they tried to make contact with the tribe in Ecuador. This made headlines, and it encouraged more Christians to go in their place. Some of you are a generation older than me, including my dad. How many of you were going to church in 1959? I'll let a few of you off, but I know a few of you were, and a few of you could have been. I found an old magazine that talked about a call to prayer and special effort to reach 2,000 Bibleless tribes in this generation. More on that in a moment. But to complete the timeline up there, I was born in 1968 and again in 1989. Now, 1989 was kind of the start of the AD 2000 movement. Anybody remember the AD 2000 movement? What we hope to achieve by 2000. As a teenager, I'd got ideas about, you know, what my life was going to be like in the year 2000. I made a few predictions. Do you know which one I got right? How old I'd be. The others were off by a few years. Goals for sort of family, being married, maybe having a kid by then. Took a bit longer. I'm happy. But AD 2000 movement, again, this other push to see the world reached. This time in my generation, we got excited. We also had a decade of evangelism. And then I think that was supposed to be followed by a decade of administration or I don't know what. But we're encouraged. Lastly on the list, we come up to date with 2020, which is, as you all know, the year of the Bible. It's the year of the midwife. Not called the midwife. Everybody declares these years of something. 2020 is the year of the Bible and a few other things. There was a conference in the US over New Year. So, yeah, that is what 65,000 students look like. A gathering called Passion 2020. 18 to 25 year olds from 80 countries and 1,700 colleges and universities. And in their enthusiasm, they texted donations and raised $1.2 million for Bible translation work. I'm hoping many of them will continue to pray and to give, and that many will join the work. I doubt 65,000 will. How many do you want to pray for? 10 out of that crowd? 50? 500? How many to join the work? Just for comparison, the entire population of Utoxeter is probably about 1,400. No, 14,000. But I'm glad there was a... Once upon a time it was 1,400, but that's probably in 1,400. About 14,000. Now, the Dove Church started with a vision to be a witness across the Dove Valley. And wisely didn't draw too many lines about where they thought that started and ended. You know, Utoxeter and around. And started off, as many of you know, in Somersall. And planted in this town. A small church. How many of you were in Somersall before you planted in Utoxeter, Colin?
I can't remember exactly, around about 20.
Yeah. People had started, they'd found this place which held something special for them. It outgrew that place. Eventually found itself in this building. There's over 100 names in there, adults and kids, from 20 years ago. Some have moved on to different things, called away to different missions. But God's not finished with this place yet. So, the Dove Valley. So I'd say, yeah, pray for 10 more people to join this congregation. But pray for 50, 100, 500 to be added to the churches around here. And then keep praying. Whether that takes 1, 2, 10 years to happen. We want to see the church grow. We want to see the kingdom grow. In this place, in this region, in this country, in this planet. So let's step back to 1959 again. Here's what the progress of Bible translation looked like back then. There were 1,127 languages that had received some kind of scripture back then. That's up considerably from Carey's time. And only about 215 of those had the whole Bible at that point. But this call to prayer reached 2,000 Bibleist tribes in this generation. Were you alive in 1959? Because if you were, I've got some news for you. They did it. Or God did it. Or we all did it together, whatever stage you kind of join in on this wonderful journey, this mission of God. Since then, scripture has been made available in 2,000 more languages, sometimes only in part, it's ongoing. But we've also learned that there are more languages than we thought there were in 1959. It happened, but the goalposts moved. Instead of there being about 4,000 languages, there are over 7,000 or over 7,300 when you start including sign languages. Now, translations might not be needed in all of them. There's this kind of stuff that people speak more than one language. But in the same way that we refer to how many different Bible translations in our English this morning? Don't know. People may like it in all of the languages that they speak. And it may speak to them in different ways. And lots of people only speak one really well. So, anyway, it gets complicated. But our guess at the moment is that stuff needs to start in about another 2,000 languages, in addition to all those where it's already going on. The graph shows that the blue is Bibles, and then sort of New Testaments, portions, stuff that started, stuff that we think needs to happen. And there's a partnership of organisations in the USA that wants to see everything done by 2033. And that's what these kids were getting impassioned about at Passion 2020. Everything done by 2033, which It might take longer than that. It's a very steep graph to get it done by 2033, but it's not impossible for God. I can't say whether this will be reached in 13 years, or 30, or 60. Predictions are hard to make, especially about the future. But so what does this have to do with you here? Forward again. I think that went back. And forward again. Yep. This vision for this church. Well, some of you have been praying for both Bible translation and world evangelization for a few decades. Some of you may be about to start. You may find that God has put other passions on your mind. There is a lot to do in this world of ours. You felt your own individual calls on your life. Some of you have been part of this church for a long time, some for a short time, some for a long time to come. You've shared the vision that's in this place and this sense of community that there is here, this sense of family. You want to see this place as a light to the communities around us, along with other lights, small and large, in this town, in this country. So this is my call and prayer for us. Be realistic about what you can do. Be realistic about what God can do. Be optimistic, but count the cost. And expect great things from God. And attempt great things for God. Don't be disappointed if he doesn't meet your goals in your time, but don't be surprised if he exceeds them.